Go ahead and open your Bibles tonight to Philippians chapter number 2. And last night we began really looking at this great missionary church, the church at Philippi that Paul started on his second missionary journey in northern Greece. And this was a church that Paul had nothing but good to say. He said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." And this was a church that had a heart for missions. We talked about in chapter 1 alone, the word gospel, referring to that gospel ministry, was mentioned 6 times there. And Paul talked about how they defended the gospel. He talked about how they had a fellowship in the gospel ministry and how they had helped him to further the gospel. And so tonight we want to continue on and we want to look in chapter 2. I want to say what a privilege to have Michael and his wife here going to Italy. I was in Italy in 1984 in the Navy, and there's a memory that's always been in my mind. I was on shore patrol one night, and in shore patrol, you go into areas of the city that are kind of rough, the gut, they call it, in most foreign ports. And I remember it was 3-4 in the morning, I'm on shore patrol, and just the craziness of that area of the city in Naples. And seeing this little boy, this little Italian boy, he's about 7 or 8 years old, and all night long, just for hours, watching him running between a bar and the rooms of these prostitutes carrying drinks for these guys. And I thought, you know, it's 24 years ago since I was there in the Navy. And over those years, I've thought so many times, I wonder if that kid ever, one time in his life, ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just been an incident in my life that has just always stuck there. I appreciate so much you guys taking the challenge to go to that very difficult place. And what a blessing to have God sending missionaries like that that we can support. Philippians chapter number 2 tonight. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to jump in right in verse number 5. And Paul says to them in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray quickly. Father, tonight we just ask for your hand of blessing, Lord, as we look into your word, Lord, as we look at Jesus Christ, Lord, and his heart and his passion for the world. Might we catch his vision tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, Jesus Christ was probably the ultimate and the greatest missionary that ever lived. And you say, well, how was he a missionary? In John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus said this, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." The word missionary comes from a Latin word that means mitto. It means to send. A missionary is simply this, one who has been sent with a commission or an assignment. Jesus Christ left heaven to come to this earth with a mission or an assignment from his Father. In Luke chapter 19 in verse 10, he said this, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The Apostle Paul, referring to his ministry in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, said this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation or acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners," Paul said, "of whom I am chief." Jesus came with a mission and with a passion. Jesus Christ had insight into what was at stake because of the fall of man. That has been his understanding has been unequaled by any other man. And Jesus Christ possessed what I want to call tonight the mind of missions. The mind of missions. If we want to understand missions, if we want to understand the heartbeat that God has for redeeming and reconciling lost men and women, kids around the world back to Himself, if we want to understand the heart of that and the mind of that, We can see it tonight in this passage in the heart and in the mind of Jesus Christ Himself. And tonight, folks, we need to embrace the mind of missions and Jesus Christ's vision for the world tonight. The first thing I want you to notice is, as we embrace tonight the mind of missions, we can do that by understanding the sacrifice Jesus Christ was willing to make. You know, in this chapter, we have one of the greatest statements of fact of who Jesus Christ is in the Bible. In verse 5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you." That heart that Jesus had, that servant's heart for the world. And God said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now notice verse 6. "Who being in the form of God, the image of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God." This is one of the clear statements in the Bible on the fact of who Jesus Christ is, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says this: "In the beginning was the Word." The Word there is capitalized with a W. It's talking about a person. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now notice this: "And the Word was God." And then you go on down to verse 14, and it says this: "And the Word, who was God, was made flesh. And He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ came to this earth as God. And Jesus Christ is God, and yet as God, He was willing to set aside His divine privileges and His divine rights for the sake of the salvation of souls. That's the heart. That's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. Well, you say, well, how do we possess His mind for missions? We need to understand the sacrifice that God Himself was willing to make in order to reach lost people around this world. You notice these key words we see. Verse 6, it says he was God. He was equal with God. But then notice these verbs used in verse 7 and 8. Notice this action that God, as Jesus Christ, took. Here He is, God, the Creator of the universe, enthroned. But in verse 7 it says, He made Himself of no reputation. Literally, He emptied Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant. And He was made in the likeness of men. Notice in verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, He what? He humbled Himself. And He became obedient." God being obedient, that boggles my mind, but I don't try to get everything. I just try to take it by faith. "He became obedient unto" what? "Death." And then it says this: "Even the death of the cross." Why did it highlight? Because the cross was the worst death you could die. It wasn't someone, you know, coming into earth, living a life and dying. It was God Almighty coming to this earth and dying the death of a criminal, of a convicted convict. Why did He do all that? That is His heart for missions. Understand, Jesus Christ was God for all eternity. Jesus Christ left the throne of heaven. He literally one day stood up from the throne of heaven, and in a sense, He laid His crown aside. He laid His robes of royalty aside. He laid His position of worship and praise by all the angelic beings of heaven. And He set that aside to come to this earth to be born in the feeding trough of an animal in a town called Bethlehem. "Who being in the form of God, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God." But what did He do? He took upon Himself the form of a servant. You see, Jesus understood the price that was needed to reach the world for Himself. He knew of God's holiness that had been offended. He knew of man's disobedience and his sin. And yet Jesus Christ, the God of this universe, the Lord of hosts, the high and exalted one, He left heaven to come to this earth. You say, why is that important? If you're ever going to understand God's heart and His mind for missions, you have to understand that God put His action where His words were. He didn't just cry out from heaven and expect something from us that He wasn't willing to do Himself. God set the example. How? In sending Himself, Jesus Christ, God the Son, to this earth. Why? To bring redemption and salvation to this world. Warren Wiersbe said this, "This is the mind of Jesus Christ, an attitude that says, I cannot keep my privileges for myself. I must use them for others. And to do this, I will gladly lay them aside and pay whatever price is necessary." You see, folks, we need to possess the mind of Jesus Christ. Hey, if this church is going to continue to prosper and be successful in missions, and it's amazing, it's tremendous what this church is giving, $250,000 just in the faith promise commitment, giving that to missions. That's unheard of. That's great. That's powerful. But I want to tell you something. That's not a pebble's throw in the ocean for what the needs of the world are tonight. You see, how are we going to grow? How are we going to continue to expand? How are we going to continue to help support missionaries? And by the way, send missionaries out of this church. Hey, it's great to send others, but the high privilege for this church to be able to send missionaries like Brother Falco down to Brazil and Brother Bill over to the Middle East, man, that's the heartbeat of missions. You say, how's that going to happen? It's going to happen when we understand the sacrifice that Jesus Christ Himself was willing to make as an example of His expectation from us. We need to embrace Christ's mind of missions tonight by understanding that. But secondly, I want you to notice also, by renouncing the thought of special exemption or privilege. Notice what he said. Let this mind be in, and I wish it was in all capitals right there, in you. You say, who's the you there? The you of that verse, that you is every single person in this room that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, so many times a person's greatest asset can be their greatest liability. Your strength can be the thing that's always getting you in trouble, but because it becomes that thing you rely on. You know, as Americans, we've been blessed by God with unprecedented wealth and position and favor in this world. You know what? So much so, I was just looking at something this week, and I believe it was right around $30,000. If you make more than $30,000 a year, you are in the wealthiest 4% of people on this planet. I told my daughters, I sat down, I said, you know what, honey? I said, we're richer than 96% of the people in the world. And she went, we are? I said, yeah. We are in the top 4% of the world's wealth. And you look at her, man, she was... And then I noticed, you know, it's kind of, you think, you look around the neighborhood, and how come we're living in the smallest house on this street, you know? We're among the rest of them. You know what? And so is the majority, if not all of us in this room. You say, what are you saying? I don't care how bad it gets on the average day. We're crying over $3 and something cent a gallon for gas, and I'm crying with you. Trust me. I went out and bought a Ford Escort the other day and selling my pickup truck. So I'm crying with... But you know, over in Europe, there's places where you pay 2 and 3 times that for a liter of gas. It's like a quart and a half, 2 quarts. You say, what is it? God has blessed us. We are in the majority of Americans, obviously, are in the top a couple of percent of the wealth of the world. And you know what God says to Christians like you and me? Let this mind be in you. In you, American. In you living with the... God blesses us to be what? A blessing. Why'd God allow you to be born in America? Think about it. Have you ever thought it through that far? God's blessed you to be what? To be a blessing. God's blessed you to show forth His grace and throughout the world. And you know, you equals every person who knows Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior. Look what God says here in verse 4. Look what He's saying to us, the you. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You know what God's saying, American Christian? born-again person who knows Christ as your Savior, understand the sacrifice that He was willing to make. But then you know what? Renounce that thought of special exemption or privilege because of maybe the difficulty of your life. I want to tell you something tonight. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians, and he said this in verse 8. He said, I do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. And he said, I want you to witness something. I want to use a witness to you of this grace that's going on in Macedonia. You say, who's Macedonia? This church right here, Philippi. That's Macedonia. He said, how did that in a great trial of affliction and the deepness of their poverty and the abundance of the joy. He talked about how they gave of themselves to help Paul's ministry to carry the gospel through the world. He said, what did the Macedonians live under? They lived under persecution. They lived under poverty. They lived under hardship. They lived under difficulty. You know what? They didn't expect an exemption. They didn't expect... You know what, folks? Listen to me. This is so important. If we are going to be examples of grace, and I believe this church is a great example of grace and love for the world, missionary, and we're going to continue and not rest in those laurels. And we're going to continue to allow God to bless and the Spirit of Jesus Christ to just move through this place in favor and blessing upon what's going on here. It's important that none of us seek special exemption and special privilege, and somehow that we think that that's not us. We need to renounce that. God says in the imperative, let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of Jesus Christ. The mind of missions. The one who left heaven to come to this earth. Why? That He might bless us in being a blessing. Christ's example to us, Jesus Christ Himself, led the way. You know, God gives us great privilege that we might be a great blessing. I was reading this story about this job counselor, and he was a headhunter. And his job was basically to go and to find employees for different companies, and they would pay him for the quality of the employees. And this guy, in their trade magazine, I believe it was, he was interviewed about his successfulness in this field, and this is what he said. He said, the secret is this. If you want to find out what a worker's really like, don't give him responsibilities. Give him privileges. He said, you pay someone enough, anyone will measure up to the responsibilities that has the basic ability to do it. He said, the real test of whether someone's going to come through in the long term is how they handle the privilege that you lay upon them and how they're able to work in the face of that. He said, it takes a true leader to handle these. And folks, you know what? God was a true leader in how He handled it. Now, how are we handling it? It's a lot like my kids. You know, I have two teenagers, my niece and nephew. We've been raising them for 5 years now. People came back and said, how'd you get two teenagers? You didn't have any, you know, last time. We've been raising them now for about 5 years. And CJ's 15 years old, and he always tells me, you don't trust me. I said, that's right, I don't trust you. He says, you just don't trust me because of the way you were as a teenager. I said, well, that's part of it. He said, you don't trust me. I said, Romans 7:18. He said, what? I said, get your Bible, Romans 7:18. He said, what? I said, get a Bible. I said, read it out loud to me. I said, first of all, let me tell you who's writing it. The great missionary and apostle Paul himself. Now read what he said. And he read it and he said, Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I said, I don't trust you. Paul don't trust himself. I don't trust you. And he went, oh, and he shut the Bible and he went away. But you know what? He doesn't think I trust him. And here's what I do. Here's my test of where he is in his maturity. Is every now and then I'll stretch him out there with a privilege that he normally doesn't have. And when he can't handle it, I know he's not ready for it. And I just pull him way back under the leash for a while longer. And when he gets to a place and he handles something well, then I'm able to see, you know what, there's maturity and there's growth. It's not how he handles responsibility, it's how he handles privilege that speaks to my heart greatly about his maturity as a person. And I want to tell you something, that's true in our Christian lives. It's how we handle the privilege and the blessing that God gives us, not just financially, spiritually, by being part of such a great church and having a part to minister here and to pray for missionaries and receive some of the greatest missionaries that are going. You know how much work goes into screening a missionary before they let them in this church? Trust me, I talk to missionaries out there. Hey, can you call your friend Dan and see if you can get me in there? I said, I don't do that. I said, it's a friendship. I don't do that. I said, you know what, if we're in conversation and he asks me, I'll mention someone who's out there. I said, but I'm not really. You know, I know how hard it is to get in here. And so when the missionaries come through here, as a church, you understand the homework has been done. These are people that have been researched, scrutinized, turned inside out. Man, there are great missionaries coming through here. That's a great privilege. You know what? To whom much is given, much is required. And this church has been given so much. I could go into the missionary heritage of this church. It'd blow your mind. Brother Dan, 16 years ago, coming in. I can go beyond that. I can go back probably 17, 18 years ago in that building next door as a member of this church, showing up for church one Sunday night and realizing that we were in a mission conference and no one had even announced it. We came in that night, oh, we're having mission conference, by the way, we didn't tell you. I can remember coming back that next night with maybe, 50, 60 people in the whole building. God has blessed this church. God has given much to this church. $4 million in debt 16 years ago. An $800,000 balloon note due on another piece of property. A third of the congregation saying, bye-bye, see you till we meet again. And Brother Dan, without a lick of sense, accepted the call to pastor it. What an idiot, I'll tell you. Couple of years out of Bible college, not even saved 10 years. He just, Ben Pruitt talked him into it. Anyway. And you know what? I can just remember, it was within about a year and 2 months, there was an $800,000 balloon note due. You know what a balloon note does? That means you pay it right then. And I remember that first Easter after you were pastor, you did a special offering, Brother Dan. And I remember the commitment you made to this church. You said, I won't take a raise in my salary and I won't hire any other staff until we're able to manage this debt if you will commit. And there was the magic number of what this church needed. I believe the mortgage payment at that time was $28,000 a month. Say, how do you survive that? You guys in debt today? No. Gave $250,000 submission. You say, why is that? Because he never for 1 minute ever cut back on the missionaries. Amen. Never cut. The first year, I remember that first mission conference, the church went from $32,000 or $33,000 faith promise that year, doubled it to $60,000 in the midst of all that. Boy, this church has been blessed by God. To whom much is given, much is required. You know, renounce the thought of special exemption or privilege, church. Let this mind be in you, a Crossroads Baptist Church. Let it be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The secret, if you want to find what someone's really like, you give them privilege, not responsibility. You know, our greatest contribution to world missions will be as we look at the example of Christ, as we possess His mind, as we draw from His power and His perspective. Lehman Strauss said this, He was made man that He might live as man lives, that He might be tempted as man is tempted, and that He might overcome in every minute detail in order that we may be more than conquerors through Him. You say, why did Christ lead the way? He led the way that we might draw from the power and the example of Christ. Why? That we might have the mind of missions, not just the actions of missions. We need to understand the sacrifice He was willing to make. We need to renounce the thought of special exemption or privilege. And then finally, we can embrace Christ's mind of missions by desiring to see Christ's glory revealed to the nations. Verse 9, wherefore God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue may confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, immediately after Paul describes the great sacrificial act of Jesus Christ for the souls of people, and right after he describes our resultant obligation to be servants, he refers back to a passage back in the book of Isaiah in chapter 45 that describes how one day how all the nations of the earth will come and they will bow down before God. In Isaiah chapter 45, listen to these verses. In verses 22 and 23, this is what Paul is quoting in Philippians. Look unto me and be... This is God speaking from heaven. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. You know what Paul said? The mind of missions is the understanding that the ultimate result of people being saved is that the worship and the glory that brings back to Jesus Christ. Jesus' great sacrifice, you have to understand this, Jesus' great sacrifice, it's rewarded every time a person comes to salvation in Jesus Christ. Every time a soul in Italy trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for sin, it's rewarded. There was a group of Christian missionaries that actually had a prayer meeting that at one point lasted for 100 years. It was a group of this group in Europe known as the Moravians. Now, over the years, it's changed drastically. But this small band of believers that banded together, and they got a passion for the souls of the world. At one point, there was two men they were sending out as some of their first missionaries. And they were coming across the Atlantic to the Caribbean to work among the slaves that were on these plantations. And they were forbidden access to these slaves, and they were told that they could not go and they could not minister among them. Here was their response. They asked that they might be sold into slavery themselves, that they might work among this people and reach them for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they left that port, and as they left that city in Europe with these followers, these onlookers, these disciples of Christ, these Moravians looking on, here was their cry with the passion of their heart being willing to be sold into slavery for the cause of Christ. Here's what they cried. May the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of His sufferings. And that was the rallying cry of this group as they influenced the world. John Wesley, the great missionary movement to America and across England who brought revival, who was led to Christ through the testimony of the Moravians. So many people that we can look at, George Whitefield, people that we look at in history that had a great impact on missions in the world, you'll trace their roots back to this group of people and their spiritual influence in Europe. Worthy may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of His sufferings. The secret in loving the souls of men, one man said, is found in loving the Savior of men. You know what? If we're going to have the mind of missions, we need to have a desire to see Jesus Christ worshipped and glorified among the nations. That's what it's about. You know, I love what he said in the thing. It's not about the humanitarian need, although it's great along the world. And we want to show people compassion in those physical areas. It's souls being led to Christ. It's that we're investing in people that are going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world. They're going to proclaim that message where people might receive it and might be saved. And you know, and in this, every one of us can have a part. The question tonight is this: do you love Jesus? That's really what it's about. Do you desire to see Him worshipped? Then we need to embrace the mind of missions. You know, that verse said, as I live, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I remember, I don't know if it was the 70s or the 80s, might even been the 60s. I'm really getting up there in years. I think it was probably 70s, early 80s. And y'all might remember this commercial. Commercial comes on and this guy is looking under the hood of a car, real professional look of mechanic, and he says, blown engine, we'll have to replace it. And he's going on, and he holds up this Fram oil filter. He said, you know, this could have been saved by whatever this oil filter cost. He said, you know, just regular oil change and a good performing Fram oil filter will do the trick. And then he said this, you know, he looked at that filter. He said, you can pay me now. Then he looked over at that engine. Or you can pay me later. Y'all remember that commercial? You know what, folks? Every knee of every man, woman, child that lives on this earth is one day going to bow before Jesus Christ. Missions is simply this, allowing them to bow on this side of eternity for the first time rather than on the other side of eternity when they're bowing to Him as their judge in condemnation, not in salvation. We need to have the mind of missions. We need to possess the mind of Jesus Christ. Let's have heads bowed, eyes closed, Brother Dan.